Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
Welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Normally, I have a really witty quote or something to say at this point in the podcast, but I have none. Only to say I'm really thankful I'm okay and alive. It was one of those days, gentlemen. I'm happy to be here, though.
For those of you new that are new to our podcast, this is a conversational podcast by gamers for gamers about games. This topic of the week, we're going to actually be speaking about Mario Maker 2 and what Nintendo has done with this franchise. But before we get into that, if you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. You can follow us on Twitter at GameStuffCast. You can search for our Facebook group, GameStuff Podcast. And we do have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/provengamer. Now, before we get into the topic of the show, let's get our party started as we always do. Roberto, what have you been playing?
Oh boy, all sorts of stuff. Well, we'll start with, let's see here. I revisited Destiny 2 last night. Destiny 2, as you know, has had an interesting kind of couple of changes over the last, ever since its launch and over the last year with its Forsaken expansion. And so far, it's actually doing very, very well. They actually just announced they're going to be going free-to-play as a free MMO called New Light. So if you're somebody who's always been wary of Destiny, but you've been unaware of the price it is to jump on in, there you go. And so far, you know, it still is that kind of cool game where you just, you know, you can just hop in for an hour, grab some loot, kick some butt, and enjoy yourself. So I still have to complete the rest of the Forsaken, the expansion, which involves the death of a very important character. And I kind of want to beat that until, you know, before the big expansion comes out later on this year, which involves going back to the moon and fighting aliens. So far, so good, though. Okay, so in terms of new games, though, and then another game I've been playing, and you wouldn't believe this because it's a PS3 game. Saints Row the Third.
I beat that game.
I am working on it. So, would you believe I'm one of those guys that, like, starts a game, and this is a bad habit, by the way, starts a game, loves it, doesn't go through on it. That's my biggest weakness.
I would totally believe that of you.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. I got this game in 2012, well before I started writing reviews and getting keys and stuff, and all of a sudden, I'm like, this game's great. And then I just stopped. And I have no idea why, because this game's amazing. So I felt like revisiting Saints Row the Third, because the game, as you know, recently launched on the Nintendo Switch. It was ported, so that way you can bring the mayhem on the go, in the car, at the dentist office, at the mall, at your friend's house, and back home again. The magic of the Nintendo Switch. So the game, I hear, like, on the Switch does the job well, but could have been better in some regards, mainly because it's a PS3 game and they could have, you know, added a couple of enhancements. Like, come on, who doesn't want to run around in a Star Fox costume with a heavy machine gun? But anyways, so Saints Row the Third, I would encourage everyone with a Nintendo Switch to pick it up anyway, because it's a great game. For those that don't know, Saints Row the Third is an open world action sandbox adventure that is self-aware and completely wild and crazy. It's a really fascinating game in which you have to take back Steelport City. You're part of the gang, the Seven City Straits, the Seven City Saints, the whatever Saints. Oh my gosh, the Street City Saints. My fault.
you'll have to excuse us, audience. So I'm pretty sure what you're hearing in our background is Roberto's nieces and nephews.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh. Yeah, guys, it's been that kind of day. Oh my God. I could really go for like a foot massage and, yeah, I don't know, Bud Light Platinum right now. But instead I have a coffee. But I'm working on it. I'm rolling through with it. But anyway, thanks for everyone's patience. The game is great. You get to, like, you can basically have a huge amount of customization to your avatar, for example. And you can make it a male, female, maximize the sex appeal, minimize the sex appeal. You can have a guy wearing a female outfit running around with a bazooka. It's a very zany game. But it's also very M and R rated. You get to, there's literally a weapon that's a giant, and please pardon me for the crassness here, a giant 10-foot sword-shaped dildo that you can whack people with. So it's a game that is not, does not take itself seriously. And that's a good thing, because sometimes you need some more depressurized game experiences. And for me, I've played as, you know, played like my one avatar is a woman wearing like an alien outfit, like, you know, like a cool sci-fi soldier outfit. And you know, from like the 1960s. And then my other character is a male that wears like just a regular t-shirt and is kind of cool, you know. And that's just the first part. The rest of it's great. So the game begins with a giant heist on an aircraft where like you get backstabbed and betrayed, and your objective is to fight the gangs of Steelport and by all means necessary. This is a game where you could be listening to "You're the Best Around and Nobody Can Ever Bring You Down" while running over people. It's a game that is completely crazy, loony, wonderful voice acting and cast, and I can't recommend it enough. So if you have a Switch, grab it. So, and for me, playing it on PS3 has been kind of nostalgic. So back to 2011, 2012, a much brighter time in games, when YouTube was still cool, when microtransactions didn't exist, and when, I don't know, games could be games. So, but anyways, yeah, so that was really cool. So the next game I was talking about is Warhammer 40,000 Space Wolves.
I hate the Space Wolves.
You don't like Space Wolves?
No.
Aw, killing me, Kali.
Well, my friend played them against me and beat me all the time.
Oh, okay. I understand. but in any case, yeah, so there's actually this mobile game that came out called Warhammer 40K Space Wolf. So it's a grid-based tactical combat game in the Warhammer universe, and they decided to release it to the PS4, which that's something I'm seeing lately. Some of these mobile games are jumping ship to consoles, like Asphalt 9 is coming to the Nintendo Switch, and there was Horizon Chase, which went from like cell phones to PS4 Switch, has been making a good killing for itself, so it's been great. This is another one. So the game has you as a member of the elite Space Wolves, and you're issuing tactical commands on a grid. You use different weapons, you use different cards. There's different attributes and things of that sort, and it's pretty neat. I'm enjoying it so far. I just went through one mission. There's no voice acting, which is a little disappointing. There's just text, but then it literally making this game like a straight to cell phone to PS4 port, but it's not bad. A lot of playability, a lot of missions, you know, and if you're a fan of Warhammer, it's pretty good. And the next one, did I talk about Atelier Lulula? I don't think so.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Okay, so this is going to be, say this like five times fast. Atelier Lulua, the Scion of Arlands.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, it's like that one meme, you know, the Osas meme. What's your name? Osas. You're not familiar with that meme?
No.
Oh my gosh, Kali! You gotta get plugged into the internet here. But anyways. So, Atelier Lulula just arrived for the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One and PC. It's a long-running JRPG franchise from Gust and Koei Tecmo. It's very interesting because it's a very female-focused JRPG.
it's not tapping into, you know, the typical things of JRPGs, you know, the fan service, jiggle physics or anything like that. It's just, it's a JRPG where there's a bunch of women who are alchemists and their objective, you know, is to have fun and save the world. So I'd have to say I played about 10 hours, 15 hours of it so far, and it's actually pretty good. It's a very different kind of a JRPG, especially when other RPGs and JRPGs are gray or drab and there's an apocalypse or the world is ending or they get transported to another world. Like, this one takes place in a European, German-inspired, well, European, I should say, in Germany-inspired world. And, you know, you're an alchemist and you're, you know, you're 20-something years old. You're trying to follow in your mom's footsteps and you have to be an alchemist, make things, craft things, use them in combat. So the game starts off innocent enough. You have to, you just go around the town and then you have to fight some monster and someone helps you out. And then you start realizing that there's a, like, as an alchemist, people come to you with requests and you start participating in those requests to make sure that they're addressed and taken care of. And you, the objective of this game is threefold: synthesis, exploration, and combat. Synthesis. So we'll do exploration first. Explore. Everything that sparkles in the game, you have to grab. You grab it, you have to synthesize it. That goes to the next part. You go to your wagon, you synthesize the items, you synthesize all the items, you can give them all sorts of attributes. So then, you go out to combat. You fight monsters. Some of them are innocent-looking monsters like jellies, and some of them are giant Pokemon-looking bears. So I'm sure that the game's going to really ramp up the difficulty, but it has been... It starts off kind of, you know, cakewalk. By the end of Chapter 2, it gets pretty challenging because then you're fighting more tough, more difficult enemies and things like that. So far, it's good. I mean, I like it. I wouldn't say it's everyone's taste because of the fact that it's like a slower game. It's a little more colorful and it's not, you know, all action-y, you know. It's not like God Eater or something like that where you're just hacking and slashing away. But it is a cool JRPG that's like chill and it's not something that's going to, you know, that's interesting enough to invest in, but not boring enough to where it's like, okay, I don't really give a damn. So there's 10 chapters. It took me all afternoon to get through Chapter 2 on Saturday. So
what system?
Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Or at least I think Xbox One. So yeah, that's about it. I mean, I played a bunch of other ones, and that's it. So I guess I'll save that for next time. What about you, Kalai?
I haven't been playing a lot because, unfortunately, audience, I've been in a lot of pain. I have to get my wisdom teeth out, so it's been really hard for me to want to do anything. I did go back to Devious Dungeon 2, which I'm in love with. I'm trying to platinum it, but to platinum it, you do have to beat all the bosses. And it can tend to be a little bit on the more challenging side, which is interesting for a Rattalak game, because a lot of the games are really easy to get their platinums. But even as challenging as it is, it's still a lot of fun, and I can't stop playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I gotta say that once you just give it up to Rattalak, we might just become the official Rattalak podcast here. Because...
Right?
Yeah, like, they really are, like, just a company that... They release games! And there's a new one every couple weeks. And it's radically different from the last. And they're cool. And they're fun. And, you know, like, even that now they've also ported a lot of their library to the Switch. So if you don't have an access to PS4 or Vita, you get access to that too. Like, I recently re-reviewed I Am the Hero again. And, I mean, I can't stress how cool that game is enough. I mean, it's short, but... Really, really great to play, and I and another one just came out, Neon Junction, I think. It's like a first-person Tron retro 80s-inspired puzzler video game, and it's pretty cool. Neon Junctions, yeah. So far, so good on that regard. Like, they release games, and people buy them and play them, and it's all good, so... I also would recommend Blasting Agent. That's like a Contra-inspired one. And that's a fun one to not only buy and play, but also the Platinum. I don't know if it's on the Switch, but I do know it's on PS4 and Vita, and it's totally worth your time.
Yeah, there was another game I delved into. Oh, Super Cane Magic Zero.
Oh, yeah, that one was... I heard that's a good one. So how you... I heard it's pretty funny, too. How you holding up with that?
It is actually pretty funny. It's a role-playing game. So it's very much RPG inspired. The jokes are hysterical. I have been tweeting some of them out to our Twitter handle because they're just so much fun. In fact, there's more I have to upload. However, so far, the way they save points is a little weird. So I, like, actually exited the game and came back in later because I wanted to play something else. And I was at the beginning of the game, and I was like, oh my god, did I just lose all my progress? I literally had to go through the tutorial again, but I hadn't even lost my progress.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which is really weird. Have you started this game yet?
Not yet, but the good news is that I have virtually zero plans this weekend other than to just catch up on games, relax, maybe play games I may have bought months ago, like Days Gone, and maybe get started on them. Oh, boy. That's, like, one thing I like right now. Like, it's the summer. There's really not many big releases of games right now, and we'll just have to wait and see how other games transpire. But, like, I can probably start catching up and starting to complete some of the titles that I've been working on. And but I think I will start this one. Maybe tonight. I intend to stay up late tonight and tomorrow, just like the good old days. Because, I mean, I don't know about you guys out there, but when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you got a game going, I don't know what it is, but the moonlight and the darkness and the Earth's gravity and shit, your, like, mind kind of becomes like that one meme with the brains, you know? Like, it just expands, and then suddenly you can just kick ass in everything. So, I have several stories like that. One time I played, like, what was it, Vanquish at 2:30 in the morning, and, like, I fell asleep and I woke up and I said, okay, I'm gonna play Vanquish from Platinum Games. And, like, there was a really difficult trophy to get with the with this, like, laser cannon, and I got it. And I went right back to sleep. I regret nothing.
yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, I know. It's probably I dread that because it's like I just started getting into that again, and then after a while, I'm not doing that, and it stunk that I was never able to, you know, do that because I mean. Like I said, you get some cool stuff. Like, for example, I was up until almost 4 in the morning back in college on a Saturday night going into Sunday playing Far Cry. It was my best platinum ever because...
I remember this story.
Yeah. So, so long story short, you had in order to get the platinum trophy, I had to be I had to complete several of the co-op missions. And, like, I don't know about you, but when you play with randos... And a rando is hosting, they do the same mission over and over and over again. And it's like you start banging your head against the wall, like, dude, I don't know where the hell you are in the world, whatever ocean you're a part of, but doing the same mission over and over again is really, really boring. Stop. But they want to just, you know, keep farming it for whatever reason. So suddenly, at like 3 a.m., I was the host. I said, I'm going to stay up. I don't give a shit if the sun starts rising. I'm staying up till I finish the game. And like at 3:47 a.m., the last trophy checked and the platinum says, you know, Far Cry 3 mastered. And I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was feeling it the next day. But, oh, that shit was worth it, though. But anyways.
The other game I've been playing is Rage 2. I've gone back to that game.
Good.
I really do want to beat that game. I'm in love with it. And... they do community events, like, every week, and I've been successful in every community event to get the new skins and stuff, so today, this week, they're doing Ruckus the Crusher. You have to kill him. They put him specially into the game. So, of course, I went through and killed him today before we recorded tonight.
Yeah.
Highly recommend that.
Yeah, like I said, I'm gonna wait for that. Well, here's the thing. I've got Prey, and I've got Doom. I got even the new Wolfenstein. I have not played either of them. So, like, I want to start playing Doom now because of the fact that Doom 2 is coming out and, you know, I really should play that, obviously. And then I got Prey and then, you know, like, this talk about space and the moon and stuff like that. And, you know, and it's like the whatever the anniversary of the Apollo 11 lunar landing this year. So I want to play that. And then I want to play Wolfenstein and hopefully play the new one coming out because that one looks crazy. Plus, it has Carpenter Brute. So, if you don't know who Carpenter Brute is, YouTube Turbo Killer by Carpenter Brute. Won't regret it. So, like, I do want to get Rage, and then part of me wants to finish the first Rage, which I don't know if that's probably somewhere in my PS3 collection, just for the sake of finishing it, not even platinuming it, and then playing Rage 2. But so probably by the time I'm playing Rage 2, it's going to be Black Friday morning. It's going to be $10. But yeah.
What are you going to play Doom on? What setting?
PS4.
Not system setting.
But oh yeah, there's
normal.
I do have Doom VFR too, and I have that as well.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Oh yeah. I have Doom. I'm going to play on PS4, and then the I'm also going to be playing VFR, the Doom VFR, cuz that one I got and that one looked cool.
Right, but what normal mode, easy mode?
Oh no, normal. Everything for me, you start on normal. And then easy is good if you want to collect like really hard to get collectibles or kill streaks. And then hard is when you really want to punish the hell out of yourself. I can't even recall when I've done a hard mode on anything and completed it, come to think of it. I think the last time I did was like Call of Duty World at War, and that was... No mas, dog. No mas. Oh, no. One time I played Dead Space in 2008, and I was the really smart guy that decided to play... The last two trophies I had to get, I had to get like a pulse... The one trophy was to play on the hardest difficulty setting, and the other trophy was to play with just the plasma cutter, which is your basic weapon. Now, when you upgrade the hell out of the plasma cutter, that shit can rip entire the fabric of space and time in half, basically, once that shit's fully upgraded. So once it was upgraded, I was like, good to go. But then it still was part of the pain in the ass. One thing, though, I do regret putting on hard mode. The Deadpool video game. You can't beat the game when you start on hard mode. So I actually want to play that because I want to platinum it, and also I saw X-Men Dark Phoenix. And I'm going to just kind of hold my thoughts on that in case anyone's curious.
Okay.
But in any case,
just to set the bar, I am the only person on our podcast. Well, I don't know about Matt, but I know Joe, who has beaten Doom on hard.
Challenge accepted.
Let's get to our topic of the show, which is of course Mario Baker 2. Now, the reason we want to talk about this game is because after the first one being such a hit, and then them putting it onto 3DS, they kind of took a step backwards, we feel, on the new Mario Maker. So the nice part about Mario Maker 2 is you can partner up with friends to create courses, which of course could be a lot of fun. There's a whole new story mode where you play through 100 courses to collect coins to rebuild Princess Peach's castle. And there's online multiplayer. However, you can't play with your friends. And then also, there's no amiibo support.
Oh my god, I just...
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on this, Roberto?
It is a very significant step back, and I know people were kind of downplaying it, but the truth of the matter is that Nintendo has been a very socially engaged video game company. Like, they emphasize friendship and playing with your friends more than anybody else. I mean, despite Microsoft having its systems and PlayStation Network, this is the one that's like, play with a friend, play with a friend, play with a second player. Play with other people and things of that sort. And it's very unfortunate that all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, you can play with people, but they're randos. They're, you know, and so if there's a guy just sitting there and he wants to just make a jerk of himself, you just have to kind of deal with that. And that's like always a pain because even like when you deal with randos in other games, like, you know, I played Earth Defense Force Iron Rain not too long ago. There was the fact that in Earth Defense Force Iron Rain, like I try to find a room, and it's like the room is like the host there, and then you sit there and you're waiting for the host to initiate a mission, and then you wait 10 minutes or whatever, and then nothing happens, and it's just like, yo, don't waste my time. So, anyways, that being said, it feels like this is like something that is extraordinarily blasphemous, almost. It's like heresy, kind of to Nintendo's statement. And I mean, the amiibo support, I know amiibos are not really everybody's taste. It's like, you know, they're little paperweights, really, with microchips on the bottom. But that can just unlock things. So that's, you know, that depends on who you are. But in terms of the rando thing, it doesn't make any sense, especially in the original when you can get friends. I don't understand that why they decided now just to have randos. It's possible the friend system will be incorporated later on. Maybe they're in a position where it's like, yo, we haven't had a really new Nintendo Switch game in quite some time. I mean, when you look on the last couple of months, there's been great digital exclusives like Katana Zero, which, I mean, I haven't even played it yet, but just based on the demo and stuff, it, oh, hells yeah, you should own that. However, at the same time, the new releases have been ports, HD ports, maybe remastered ports, maybe not remastered ports, what have you. Those have been new releases on the system. So maybe I'm thinking what's going on is they're like, okay, listen, is Mario Maker ready to go? It's like, yeah, man, but we don't have the system in place to do friends. But what can you do in the meantime? Randos. We can do randoms. Okay, throw that in and we'll release a patch. Obviously, it's a game that's heavily tooled to online connectivity and online play. We'll just patch that in, like, maybe for the winter. Okay, boss. I think that's what happened. So, what about you, Kalai?
Well, I'm a little upset about the Amiibo support because I do have an extensive Amiibo collection, which you've seen.
Yes.
Now, as far as the online capability, I mean, I think it's a step backwards, and I don't understand, and I can't wrap my head around the fact that Nintendo can update, I don't know, Super Mario Brothers to play with your friends online through Nintendo Online, but not the new brand new Mario Maker game.
Right. And then on top of that, it's like they just charge. When did they start charging for Nintendo Online? Like just late last year.
September.
Yeah, you would think that with your, I mean, it's not expensive, but they're getting money for the online services. You think they would have built an architecture where you could have friends, and maybe not just one friend, but all of your friends can be in your Mario Maker. But I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
I hope that they do make it easy for you to share courses with your friends.
Yeah.
That would be nice, because I do have a lot of friends that want to make courses, and I like to play their courses. The other thing I just thought about is maybe the original structure that they had in play was thrown out the door when they partnered up with Xbox. Maybe there's something coming from Xbox to help them with that.
Right. I mean, we have to still pay attention to that. This Microsoft Nintendo thing is a lot more than just releasing Cuphead on the eShop. So I think there's more, next week's going to be exciting. As of this recording, the E3 is next week, obviously, and we're going to have the Nintendo Direct. But I'm sure there's a lot more aces up the sleeve here in this regard, and how that's going to play out. So I think that there could be more. You're right. I think you have to make a very good point. There could be more to this. And then also the fact of the matter is that I imagine that being that Microsoft unmistakably has an extraordinarily solid talent in online multiplayer servers, how that whole thing works, maybe they're going to look and say, well, Microsoft seems to know what they're doing in this regard. I mean, maybe we can partner up and then we can have a Nintendo Super Mario Maker server and be able to do things that we could never think of before. I mean, you have to remember that Nintendo's never really been skilled in online multiplayer or the online space. Like, that's something that is based upon their track record starting back to from the Nintendo Wii and up to now. They really haven't had the best of track records. They've done the bare minimum. But when it comes to a lot of what the online capabilities have been for the Wii, the Wii U, even the 3DS, as charming as some games have been, it's been rather lacking. So I think that that's what needs to, maybe that you're right, they could be just very well exploring that to make sure that they can get something better with considering the partnership with Microsoft. I mean, everything, that's the thing about game development too. These things take a long time, and it takes you can have like a great strong river of development, and then there's one thing that happens and you have to decide, do you want to pursue this or not? And it looks like they decided I would have to say that you're right, they may have pursued something.
The other thing is, and you mentioned this, but I saw nothing mentioned this in the media. You said it wasn't going to use a stylus?
Yeah, well, what happens is that what happens with the with the original Mario Maker, if I recall, okay, it was originally on the Wii U, and it was on 3DS, and the 3DS version, obviously, people had kind of, they were actually harping on that one because of, like, there were certain attributes that were no longer added to it, but then again, it made sense considering it was the 3DS. The point is, though, on both of these platforms, you had a stylus to better pinpoint moving certain things, moving certain attributes and parts to a level. Now it looks like you have to use your finger, and let me tell you, like, you know, having used a touchscreen and stuff like that, unless, like, you can, I mean, it might, like, using a stylus is very, very helpful if you want to get, like, you know, the littlest of details done. It's possible they could have redesigned certain parts of the game so that way you don't need a stylus, maybe you just need your finger. But still, and that's not something I can honestly explain or identify, considering that I don't have Mario 2 in my hands. Well, Mario Maker 2 in my hands. So the best thing I can suggest is perhaps that it's probably, there might be a design system in which you don't need the stylus anymore.
See, here's the thing. I think they are going to include the stylus, the use of the stylus, but I think it's going to be sold separately because Europe is getting a special release with a stylus.
Right.
So why would one country get the ability to use a stylus and the other country doesn't?
That's a really good point. I completely forgot about that.
Right. So that's why I was confused about you saying that you might not be able to use a stylus.
I have no idea. You know what? Okay, yeah, that completely throws my statement right out the window. I really just, that is a good point. I have no idea. I think there's got to be something that we just were not aware of and that we're not going to find out until the game's in our hands.
So are you getting the game?
Maybe. I mean, right now, like I said, I'm in a holding pattern with, like, brands making new games, buying them. Right now, too many games is at the end of the month, and I was not given a press patch, surprisingly. So I had to shell out $70 to go, and I don't know what I'm going to find there. So, like, I'm kind of, like, I'm in a significant holding pattern with brand spanking new games and things like that. I mean, I do want to get stuff, but, like, you know, like Trevor Saves the Universe and Blood and Truth and a few, and even Moss, so for the VR. But I just haven't, you know, been maneuvered or finagled to do so because I just want to save up some money. And anyways, but that besides the point, I might get it down the line. I'm thinking maybe probably, but like once again, by the end of the year, alongside Rage 2. And that would be a nice, like, little gift to myself to do something different. So, I mean, I never played the first ones, and I do respect what it was able to do, bringing user-generated content to a Mario platform. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it does. I mean, there's nothing that's really, like, telling me don't buy this at all. I mean, I do think the whole Randos thing's unfortunate because I got a buddy that lives about an hour and 40 minutes away. That is a huge Nintendo fan, and I would love to be able to play more with him. So there's that. So we'll have to just wait and see how it all transpires. I think that there's something more to it. Nintendo is in a very competent position when it comes to its development and things like that. I know that a couple of years ago with the Wii U, they really didn't care. Like, I still remember the disastrous launch of that tennis game, which had, like, two game modes, but was priced at 60 bones or whatever. So, I don't think they're in a position like that anymore. I just think that there might be something more to this that we're not aware of. So we'll have to wait and see.
I am probably going to get the game because I know our good listener, Matt, is going to be getting the game and I really want to play his courses.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's, that's pretty cool. I mean, like, that is one thing. I think some of the levels that were there were just ridiculously insane. Like, you have to jump at a certain time, you have to throw turtle shells at a certain time, you have to avoid those chomping clams.
Yeah, I think the game's going to be fine, so I'll probably get it close to launch.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks good. Otherwise, I mean, it's Super Mario Maker on the go, and you'll be able to, you know, take this thing everywhere you go, generate levels, upload them, and enjoy it.
The best part about this is that it will give you more freedom to create, because one of the limitations of the last game is that Wii U pad.
Yeah, yeah, that ain't that something, you know? Wii U was like, it was like this, like, looking back on it, it's the system Nintendo didn't like, and it wound up being the sacrificial goat for the Switch. And some of the games from the Switch, or the Wii U, are making their way to the Switch. Maybe they can release The Devil's Third, which it, I don't know if you're familiar with, was a notoriously terrible game on the platform.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our show. If you would like to get in touch with us, how can they get in touch with you, Roberto?
All right, so first up, stackup.org, military video game charity. It's a game charity that uses video games to help better the lives of veterans. They're going to go all summer long and all the way to Veterans Day, helping the troops out, especially now. You know, it's the 75th anniversary of D-Day, so we try and stay involved in helping our troops out and our veterans out. Feel free to join them and see if they, you know, help them in all sorts of different ways. Whoa, excuse me. That's the coffee there, folks. See if you can help and join them in any different way. Next up is But Why Though podcast. As of this recording, we're going to get this out before Tuesday, but while E3's going on. But if you hear this, they're going to be doing a lot of reporting from E3 and what's going on, what they're playing. So feel free to check that out for some, like, you know, insider access to things that they may not be covered. I'm a writer and reviewer there, of course, under the tagline Major Sloth 1988. Then you can find me on PlayStation Network, VectorMan88, and also on Nintendo Switch, the Game Stuff podcast. I appreciate everybody interacting with the reviews that I've been writing. You can also find the rest of our cast, Matt Murray at MissedEnough84, and then Joseph at TMNT84. So you can do that. And yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't know. I felt like plugging them in. I know. You're giving me those weird looks.
No, I'm giving you the real... you're giving me the real looks because you messed up Joe's handle.
It's TMNT84.
Mr. TMNT84. Oh,
thank you. Yes. That's why you're the host and I'm a co-host.
You can find me on Twitter at Kalai21, that's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can find me on Steam at the same name. You can find me on the PlayStation Network at Miley, M-A-I-L-E, 1978. And you can find me on Xbox at Miley21. And you can always talk to me in the podcast Facebook group. Now, if you do like us, we are sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com. Click on any Amazon link and do your shopping like normal. It does help out the site. And we are also partnered with Humble Bundle. In the link to our show notes is the link to get to the Humble Bundle site. It's got great pricing on PC games, and it does support our charity, Extra Life. If you do like this show, check out our other shows. We have the Trophy Horse, the Nintendo Dual Screens. And I just want to thank Isaac Sago for our logo, and of course the band Take Away the Ugly for our music. You can find all of the info in our show notes. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode of Game Stuff.
Thank you, everyone. May the Force be with you. Wear your sunscreen.